Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm John Purcell. I'm sitting across from Michelle Bridges, who's here to talk about a new book, Keeping It Off. Welcome, Michelle.
Thanks for having me. Now I'm just getting ready to do my squats. I thought you might join me.
Don't do that to me. There is video footage of me being tortured throughout the office from the commando.
I remember that footage. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh quite that loudly.
Andrew Katnack, who was filming that particular episode of Booktopia TV, kept telling me he didn't get the shot. And so we had to keep doing them.
Again.
Yeah, do more burpees.
Nice.
I was almost dead by the end of it.
Nice.
Someone who has pretty much never done exercise in life. That's pretty much, I mean, I've only had one trainer and one real exercise workout, and that was pretty much it.
That was it.
That's it for me.
Well, that's pretty, you know, good going. I went to the top. By the commando.
What's my trainer? Well, usually I train with the commando. So we're here to talk about after such a workout like mine. When you've really done the hard yards and you've reduced the weight and you're feeling brilliant, and then 2 or 3 months later, things start
to unravel.
The wheels
fall off a little bit, yeah.
So what do you do?
Well, you get this book.
Yeah.
It's called Keeping It Off. Yeah. It's been a great venture, this one. I've been wanting to do this book for some time. In fact, it was almost about 2 or 3 years ago that this book happened, but we held back because I wanted to really make sure we had great research. You know, the team were primed and ready to go, and you know, we all the ducks were lined up in a row, and that happened for this year.
Yeah.
We have an extraordinary team, but I'm very excited to have also introduced Dr. Catherine Samsara, who is a leading endocrinologist here in Sydney.
Can you just for me, everyone else knows what that word means, but what's that word mean?
Well, it means kind of she works in the world of hormones, DNA, the science of epigenetics, and the way in which your blueprint is built, but specializing in obesity-related diseases and illnesses. So she's, you know, right up my alley.
Yeah.
And the two of us, like, we could literally talk for days. I only just had another interview with her again today. And they were filming us. And they just said, oh, just talk and we'll let you know if we need you to cover off anything. We said, don't even worry about it. We literally just kept talking and they packed the cameras up and left and we were still talking. She's an extraordinarily smart woman and has some extremely powerful messages, and I wanted to bring those messages through the book. They're tough messages. They're not easy to hear. This book covers off something that in my industry, to be honest, no one is really talking about, because we are all in the industry of helping and supporting, which we do, but we talk about how we can help someone get the weight off, or how we can help someone get fitter or get stronger or get healthier or get better wellness. We don't often talk about the fact that 80% of Australians put the weight back on.
80%.
80%.
But there are so many gyms and so many health food outlets and so many you know, great books on diets that are coming out all the time. None of them keep, like we just drop down and go back.
80% of Australians who take weight off will put it on within the first year or maybe 2 years. And it goes up to 95% if it's done through some kind of crazy fad diet where you drink a certain drink or a soup, or you lick the bottom of your shoe for 3 weeks, or whatever it is. You know, you wait till your Libra and star sign is in its Jupiter moon, and then you can have a glass of something with lemon in it. There's all these crazy things out there that are
Which you can get at booktopia.com.au every time you like.
And they're enticing because everyone does want the quick fix. But I think intrinsically, deep down, we all know there is no such thing.
Yeah, and the hard work is part of it, and also just changing how you actually think about things. I mean, is that? I mean, because you can hear it at the beginning. At the beginning, and you start seeing some weight come off, and you're all gung ho, and things are going really, really well. And then maybe life gets in the way, and you cancel an appointment to meet with a trainer, or you have a fast food meal because you can't afford.
Just,
and there's no time to do anything.
Yes.
And these things just start to pile up.
Uh-huh.
And it's very easy, it seems to be, to let life get out of control and let yourself just get too busy to think about all those things. And then you try to put on your jeans in summer, or you put on a new pair of a new shirt, and you realize the buttons don't mix, meet anymore. And
but you nailed it with just what you said then, when you said, you know, life gets a bit out of control, and then so therefore. But that's exactly how you feel.
Mm.
You feel out of control, that you don't have power, or that you don't have any kind of sense of discipline around your life. It's all over the place, you know, and that's how most people feel when I start working with them. And I use that word discipline. It's one of those words that everybody rolls their eyes at and goes,
ugh. I was doing that inwardly.
And I could just, there's so many facets to this, but I suppose definitely a massive one is the way in which people think. And shifting your mindset's a very big word at the moment. Everybody seems to use it a lot, and I've used it a lot as well, but it fits for this insofar as shifting how you think about lots of things. There's so many things, but let's just talk about discipline for one. Discipline is in fact nurturing.
We have to change it to thinking in those terms, because it sounds, when I hear discipline, I think of army soldiers, I think of mean people at school, and being told to do this and told to do that, and
missing out, and it's boring, and it's monotonous, and it stifles me, and it doesn't allow me to be creative, or it doesn't allow me to be me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And yet, let's shift the way we think about discipline, and have a conversation around it. Can be, it is nurturing. Discipline will put her arms around you and take care of you.
So how do we begin?
Just the smallest of things, and this has got nothing to do with exercise or food. This is, make your bed every morning. Make your bed. Just these little things that allow you to start to feel like you are back in charge of your life, rather than it just being complete chaos. Life will continue to throw you hand grenades. Yeah. That's called life. It will happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to continue. However, you can mitigate pain, suffering, and fear, as my partner always says, by being just that little bit more organized, just that little bit more disciplined. And it's absolutely nurturing. It absolutely will take care of you.
So that by doing things like, I mean, the simple things like making your bed, is that sort of habit forming? Does your brain start to find those things attractive and are drawn to them? Is that the...
It's about habits and routines. And this book is really based around all of that and more. Habits and routines and rituals can push you in a direction of positivity and success, but it can also push you in a direction of negativity and feeling out of control.
If you're always thinking bad thoughts about yourself, and you've got a habit of thinking bad thoughts about yourself, then of course you're going to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, and if you've got a habit of you know, sitting on the couch with a bowl of ice cream every single night, that's a habit, and
if
it's a routine.
If I exchange a bowl of ice cream with a bottle of wine,
it's still the same habit.
Okay. That's a bad one, is it?
And we are creatures of habit. Yeah. So you can actually formulate habits in your life that are going to push you forward rather than pull you back. And that really is the crux of it. Some of the interesting research that's come from the endocrinologist that I'm working with is a little bit chastening, insofar as the research to date tells us that we have... first of all, there's some of us that are predisposed to hold weight or put on weight quicker than others, and that's just purely a DNA thing. It doesn't mean anything, but it does mean that you are more likely to put on weight fairly
like
quickly.
Someone's short and someone's tall.
And if you push, and really, if we were in famine or war or, you know, something along those lines, you would be leading from the front. You have what we call a survival gene, which is great, but we're not in famine. No. In fact, we're in quite the opposite of that. So our environment often sets us up for failure as well, or the environment that we have around us. But the research that is current at this point from Dr. Catherine is, and this is a tough message to put out there, once you push your weight out to a certain set point, your body will always hormonally want to go back there.
So you're pretty much guaranteeing that by allowing yourself to get to there, there's always going to be work to try and always some sign.
Very much hard work to get back. And your body will be struggling and working against you in much, you know, in a hormonal sense.
Are those points different for everyone? Like just in the same way as everything else is? If some people might be a little bit overweight and they just can't, yep. and some yep. people might be really quite overweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and once the genie is out of the bottle, it won't go back in.
So no,
it's not really a very pretty message to put
out
there, is it?
No, it isn't.
No one wants to hear it.
Yeah, but yeah, there is.
But it makes sense as to why 80%.
Yeah, people put so much effort into so many things in their lives, whether it be their career, their work, whether it be love, whether it be raising family. Yeah, when people have a focus and they decide, yes, I'm going to do that, they will do like they work their butts off to get it. I suppose it's a matter of getting to start thinking about their health and their well-being in that way, and trying to get them to be as committed to that as they are to
other things. Hmm. And it's not like my fear, if I have one, is that someone will read that message and, you know, wave the white flag and be fist pumping the air going, I knew it, it's not my fault, I can't do anything about it, that's it, give up. No. That is not the reason why I'm giving you this message or putting this message out there that, you know, is now research and factual at this current point in time. It's because when we know the truth, then we can move forward from that. Mm. We're no longer in denial. And it's really quite comforting to kind of know, all right, this is what I know. And therefore, this is where I'm at, and therefore, this is what I need to do.
We can see an end, or we can see at least the path to head towards, if you actually know the facts, if you know the truth.
Exactly, exactly. And it's not like it's a sentence, because I have personally witnessed countless numbers of people who have taken the weight off and kept it off for years.
Yeah.
What is necessary to do that is same bat time, same bat channel, same choices, consistent, daily renewable contract.
So,
sounds really boring. It's not very sexy
message.
It's
not very sexy.
It's not a sexy message.
You haven't come here with a very sexy message. But habit, those kind of habits and that kind of discipline in other things that I've been involved with when I form habits that actually affect work, or I find things become easier. So if I'm doing something day in, day out, it becomes effortless. It
becomes exactly. Yeah.
Can I look for, like, if we're in that circumstance, will it get easier?
It does. It absolutely does. It's a great question. But what won't become easy is if you try to change 100 things all at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it just is too much. It's too overwhelming. So it's a case of taking one step at a time. Choosing something, one thing, changing it, and then honing that craft, nailing it to the floor. And if it takes you weeks, if it takes you months, that's okay. But you get that down pat, and you get that well-worn path of that ritual, of that consistency or that routine, and then you add something else in. Rather than trying to change everything all at once, which human nature, we tend to do and then we fall off. Mm. And then we have this massive moment of self-doubt, and I'm not worthy, and I'm not good enough, and I can't do it. And of course, that's just going to keep you on that slippery pole.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing I changed a couple of years ago, and I don't even think about it now, but I used to have a sneaky pile of gummy bears or something in the pantry, and it was probably around 9:30, 10. I'd get up and go to get a drink and walk past the pantry and just go in there and have a couple of gummy bears but one day I exchanged the gummy bears with apricots, and so I got my little sugar hit,
but it was in a slightly more nutritious way.
Yeah, just a tiny bit more nutritious. And I don't even need the gummy bears. I don't even those kinds of treats don't even excite me anymore.
Yeah,
I've managed to get it out of my system.
Exactly, it's just changing it. Yeah. You get smarter, you kind of recognize your pitfalls, or you recognize the habits, and they are habits that have slipped in and that are holding you back, and you replace that habit with a new one that's going to push you forward.
Mm.
So that is one of the messages that I'm excited about, but equally nervous about, because I think a lot of people probably have not heard that message before around set point and weight. I guess the overwhelming thing that stands out for me, or two things, and you know, when I spoke to Dr. Catherine, was quite, you know, part of her messaging as well, is one, don't go there in the first place, which is a tough message for someone that's already there.
Mm.
But if you feel yourself starting to, you know, get down that rabbit hole of 5 kilos or 10 kilos, 15 kilos, 20 kilos, you have to stop.
Mm.
And in fact, she said to me today, Michelle, it's a medical emergency. It has to stop. Like, it's that important.
Yeah.
Because it's very challenging for someone to go, I need to drop 20 kilos to get my health back.
There is that.
It's doable.
Yeah, there is that thing that happens in the mind in those where you go past a certain point and you go, well, I'm stuffed now. There's no point.
Yeah, so I may as well just...
Yeah, I'm doomed. You know, I might as well just keep going. How do you combat that? What do we do to try and bring people back over that line?
This is where support is so critically important. Support, nurturing, patience, and just constant, consistent support.
So I've had a look at the book. So we've got recipes in there. We've got some exercises, and there's a kind of a guide.
Sorry,
sort of a step-by-step guide.
Yeah, of course. That's the first chapter. And I just want to also put that second point in that comes from the first one being, you know, don't go there in the first place or pull it up now. The other part to that is our children and our future generations. You know, once you learn something, or once you know something, you can't unknow it. Mm. You can't unlearn it. And, you know, there's that quote that ignorance is bliss. But once you know something like this, then it's now, you know it.
So if you're a parent, because a lot of parents are freaking out at the moment because they're seeing their kids a little overweight. They're trying to manage the eating in home, but there's so much eating out of home.
When
they're, you know, especially if they haven't got time to make lunch and they give them $10 to get something during the day, you have no idea what they buy.
Oh no, and I can remember being a kid as well. Mm. You know, I'd be at school, and if I had one, you know, week where my mum would say, you can have one lunch and you can get whatever you want, I'd get a hot dog.
Yeah.
I know I would, you know, like I was 7 years old, I'm going to get a hot dog. Of course I am.
You're really a gourmet. I have twisties on a roll.
But it really does come down to being that role model and allowing, passing on beautiful habits and routines around food and around exercise or activity, fun activity for families. Which is why in the book, I really wanted to make sure that I had some great feeding the family recipes,
mm-hmm.
That are budget busters, that are great for lunch boxes, not only children's lunch boxes, but adults' lunch boxes, that are effective and efficient ways to cook so that you can, you know, do a bit of a cook up maybe on a Sunday and then fridge or freezer it so you've got dinners throughout the week. So that you're saving money, you're educating yourself and your children around how to cook and prepare. And there's also recipes here that are very much there for children to partake in. That was really a massive importance for me because, if nothing else from the lessons that I've learned from doing this book is now that I know this information, now that I know this knowledge, it has to be passed on to our future generations. If we want to make some kind of an impact into the epidemic that we're now seeing and the health implications that come with it. This is not about a size 12 pair of jeans or getting into a new dress size, which is lovely and wonderful. And I know many people, when they get that done. But this is really about the health of our nation and the expense, the cost to the nation, not just financially, but mentally as well.
I'm going to finish on that because that was good.
Okay.
Michelle, thank you very much for coming in to Booktopia and talking about keeping it off. All of Michelle's books are available at booktopia.com.au. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.